Hello and welcome to episode, insert number in editing here, of Crippled System. What?
We weren't live when you said that.
Oh, fuck you then. I'm going back to my game. You let me know when we're ready.
We're ready.
Well, not if we're not live, we're not ready.
We're ready right now.
Like, we're live right now?
We're live right now, yes. Nathan wants to play with the Switch.
What episode
is this? And also
play
with the Nintendo device that he bought.
Like a penis. What episode is this?
This is episode 241.
Welcome to episode 241 of Crippled System
Podcast.
My name is Nathan.
Jesus, why are you going so slow?
Slowly. Things are slow. They go slowly. Grammar matters. And I don't play much of anything right now.
You play Curse of the Moon?
I do play Curse of the Moon.
Yep.
Bloodstained, legally distinct of the moon.
Yeah, not Circle of the Moon either. It's Curse of the Moon.
Yeah, Circle of the Moon or not. Is Circle the one?
Circle of the Moon is the one that's for the Castlevania.
No. But what's the one that... This was a stretch goal for something else.
Something of the Night.
Might be Curse of the Night.
I think it's Curse of the Night, potentially.
Yeah.
Which is not anywhere
necessary. That explains, because it's Symphony. I'm Curse of the Legally Distinct, yes. Legally Distinct of the Night.
Yes.
I'm going to turn on the light. Yep. I'm Dan, and I play Diablo.
I sense a Nathan rant.
Fuck. Well, no, every goddamn season... In Diablo, because you have to do the certain things to do the stuff to get your things in the thing. And most of them are just like, get to level 70, kill Asmodan on Torment 3 or higher. Like, they're all things. Things I can do. And it's like, that's what I need to do. And then I do it, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And I get my prize, and I get my pet, and I get my portrait, whatever, frame, fuck you.
Except the point for the season 3 random number Jesus.
Every single season, they keep that one in every fucking season. Mm-hmm. Craft a socket in a weapon. It's like, bitch, you don't give me control over that. Like, I spend 3 million fucking gold in like 4 hours just because she won't give me a socket. It's so dumb. It's also super dumb that she works that way because every weapon is useless unless it has a socket anyway. She, instead of being a random thing, she should cost an absurd amount of money, like 10 million gold or like one of each imperial gem or something redonkulous, and then just pick a thing.
Yeah,
or pick whatever you want. Obviously, with weapons, you always pick socket. But for anything, just say, here's a fuckload of resources,
and rings,
let
and
me
amulets.
Pick. Sure. Yeah. But the gamble's dumb, especially since the gamble is obviously broken, because whenever you get something, you'll have like 7 choices of what you might get. Bullshit. You do it the first time, she'll give you like 3 choices. You ain't never getting anything but those 3 choices again. Like, once I have never seen it where once she picks those 3, if you reroll the same item, she's always giving you those 3 choices over and over again. You will never see the other 4 choices
with a flavor of socket.
Yeah, well, with anything. Yeah. I mean, if you do it and the first thing she gives you is like attack speed and strength and whatever, you're only ever going to see variables of those 3.
Correct.
You're never going to then randomly get a different thing. Which is stupid. Every reroll should pick fresh from the list of possible things. She's the worst part of Diablo 3. Which makes sense, because she's a gypsy and they all suck. Sorry, channeling Brian.
Yeah.
That was my job.
My problem with Diablo is
it's not Warcraft?
Nope. Is the fuck if you pick the wrong class to have to do a class dungeon in? Or one of the armor dungeons in. Because if you pick the wrong one, like at the beginning of the season, and then you have to go through like whatever dungeon is, like not getting touched the entire time.
Oh, sure. Like if it's not one that... Yeah.
It's not one that's basically doable by a normal human being.
Sure.
Like I remember one of the seasons I went through, and it was the hunter. Demon
hunter.
Going through the demon hunter one, and you had to string together like 100 kills in a row.
Right.
Or something like that. Without being touched.
So that's pseudo-mitigatable. I mean, I get you, but that is pseudo-mitigatable if you're aware of the fact that that shit's going to be in the quest log. Because, one, I don't think any of those require a specific set dungeon. So in theory, yeah, you get the free set for the season, but you can get any other set if you farm well enough. So in theory, you could get a different set dungeon. And thing two is before you start your season character, you go online and you see what the free set is, so you know whether you're picking a terrible, terrible decision. Like, I should have stopped Raylene from picking a barbarian this season because the set armor this comes with gives you – it's all built around Furious Charge, and she's terrible with and hates Furious Charge. She hates all travel skills. And it's hilarious because I love them. And so she's playing her barbarian. Not only do I wish – I'm like, oh, Furious Charge, that sounds like fun. But number two, like, the first elite thing she got at level 70 was the boots that let you leap, like, four times in a row without spending rate. I'm like, I want to leap everywhere! And she just broke them down. Like, bitch. But I get my revenge by just getting on my horse constantly and running around in circles and pissing her off.
Yeah, the horse with the aura around it that just destroys everything as well, too.
Well, I just run through everything. And the great thing is I have the flaming horse that leaves fire, and she can't tell my horse's fire from, like, molten enemy's fire, so she'll just die. And she's like, I thought that was you. I'm like, nah, I have, no, that wasn't me. You just died.
Where were you guys playing on?
Get on horse, sir.
PS4.
PS4? Okay.
Yeah.
Chris was wondering about that, too. He was seeing if you wanted to play some Diablo.
By all means. My PS4.
I don't think he has it for a PS4.
Well, Chris can buy a PS4 and buy Diablo for the PS4. Well, you should buy. I guarantee you can get the Ultimate Evil Edition for like $20.
It's Blizzard.
Yeah, but pre-played exists. Pre-played exists. This isn't like true. Like, I'm not sure it might still be full price because Blizzard's like, aha, give us money.
Yeah.
But you can go to pre-played and get Diablo for the PS4, I'm certain.
Yay. I'm so tired today.
Me too.
I was out late last night drinking.
I was home all night drinking.
I don't drink.
Yes.
We have all bases covered.
Yay!
But were you home not drinking or out not drinking?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. I was going to say, because there's four possible combinations of this. You got your thing there.
Is there any announcements?
There's announcements. Sign up for the WITC. Lock and load's over, so there's nothing else to give a shit about until the WITC. So sign up for it.
Is it finally on the front page?
What?
So the details for the WITC were not on the front page. They were on the side menu where you had to look them up, which was fine.
Clicking
a
link is difficult.
It is. Well, finding it through that menu, which has like... It's a very long menu.
Andy, I'll tell you a secret. You may be the first person outside of the staff who have actually used that menu and not used a direct link.
Oh, because I'm sure you guys posted on Facebook and that with a direct link, but I had somebody come up to me or message me. It was like, I want to sign up for the WITC. I don't know where it is on the page. And I'm like, huh. I did find it right away, though, so I mean, that's one thing. And I sent them a link, and he was like, oh, thank you. But... And I was like, this should be on the front page because you have information for WITC 2017.
Your story has grown tiresome.
You were just waiting to say that. Yes. You said that last week, so, you know.
But it had.
It was fine.
It was fine.
My mini crate stack is getting larger. My goal is to stay subscribed to the mini crate until I can fill out like a warehouse from Indiana Jones.
You can.
It'll just be miniature scale. And
yeah.
I will say, though, this. The new freaking preview that somebody had posted about the Angel of Death, that thing looks freaking amazing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's an Iris 1, Iris 2. I don't remember which one.
So is that going to be a mini crate thing?
It's the next 6 months subscriber thing.
That's a 6 months?
I think.
Because the next thing that we're getting mailed to us is the pig, right? Like a female... Brigand Warlord.
Yes, that one just finished, and what the hell is it now?
Like, it's 7 models ahead. Like, I lose track of which model is shipping. And it's weird because, like, a crate shows up, and then 2 days later, I get charged. And I think that's charging way ahead of time, or the shipping's way late. Yep. Like, they're just so close to each other.
The Brigand just finished up, and now it's Pirate Gaston.
Yeah, Gaston looks fucking amazing, too. I mean, I haven't liked the exclusive ones, the ones where you have to pay for the full 6 month subscription, but I will most definitely pay for that one if that's
the Angel of Death one. Yeah.
Iris Angel of Death. Because that model, it actually looks amazing. It's not like, I didn't like the Sheeps one. I didn't like the, what was the one?
Walls. Female Walls, I need to find someone who is selling me their female Walls. Because I know that right now, if you sign up for the 6 months, you'd still get her.
Yeah.
But the issue is then, when the next, it'll be 3 months from now when the next sign up for 6 months happens, and so I'll be weirdly misaligned, and I can't have that.
Yeah.
So I need someone to sell me a female walls or give it to me, whichever. I'm not greedy, but I might as well mention the greedy option. But I need to get a female walls so my completionist will be good, but then I need to wait two more payments so that I can then buy the 6 months so that I'll be lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Because that would be like when you have half a bag of chips and you buy salsa, and then you end up with half a jar of salsa and you have to buy chips and it never lines up again.
I don't have that problem.
Mine, I don't have that problem either. I just actually usually run out of chips.
Which leaves you with salsa.
I just put salsa on almost everything, so.
Or actually, to be honest with you, I actually run out of, because I get the black bean dip.
You do.
The Arizona black bean. It's so good. Yeah. Is it Arizona? It's something there. But anyway, yeah, I end up running out of that, and then I have leftover chips, and I have to get more black bean dip. And then I run out of chips, and then I have to get more chips, and then I run out of black bean dip.
So literally, yes, is what you meant to say, is yes, that exact thing.
Yes.
Okay.
The story is once again your time or something.
I'm just stuck doing
podcasts. That doesn't happen to me. Instead, the exact same thing happens to me.
But with more words.
All right, I'm going to go back to playing.
No.
Oh, Lord Almighty. That's our announcement. Good night.
Yep. So chips and mini crate.
Yep. And lock and load.
Yes.
Lock and load happened.
Yep.
Some interesting things popped out of lock and load.
Infernals.
Yep.
Travis the Faction.
Man, Marshall, I talked to Marshall about it. Marshall was pissed about the concept of Infernals being there. He said it shits all over the lore. There's no reason Infernals would be on battlefields fighting. It doesn't make any sense. He was, like, seething with rage.
Didn't he say that about Grimkin, though, too?
Maybe. I don't know, but I don't know. Also, I've heard from the power scale, like, an Infernal army should consist of, like, three models.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that is they're moving more and more away from having a 15-year-old book guide their decisions.
Yeah.
So
I honestly feel, I mean, because I mean, Grimkin just
third edition D&D should be shot, so
sure. I mean, Grimkin just came out, I mean, they came out within the last 2 years, so
yeah.
But
and this year's Crucible Guard and next year's Infernals, it's a faction a year. That's
just
the plan now.
It feels like Infernals are too close to what Grimkin is, and somewhat aesthetically as a kind of like demons. Infernals are basically demons, from my understanding.
Yeah, but Grimkin aren't.
But they kind of reside in that. I mean
at least it's evil clowns versus actual soul.
Evil.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's demons versus horror movie things.
I'm saying it has a very similar dark aesthetic between the two.
Sure.
And I feel that maybe it would have been better to have something. I mean, Crucible Guard was a complete opposite of that. It would have been nicer to have maybe something like Zoo instead.
Well, they might have Zoo next. Who knows? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still of the opinion that I am leery of Zoo just because I don't trust our gaming community to handle a colonialism or imperialism-related faction with anything close to decency.
That's right. Possibly true, too. And there's only, well, I guess Infernals had no models out.
There's actually like 5 or 6 Iron Kingdoms ones.
Well, yeah, the
From the way
stuff,
back,
yeah.
So.
But there wasn't anything actually out
current game
specifically
models, correct.
Current yeah. models
that we know of.
Yeah. Well, like the Zoo models, there's only two of them out that I know of. Isn't it just basically the Totem Hunter and the female Totem Hunter?
Oh, okay. So the,
you were thinking for a second, you're like, what the fuck is Annie pulling this other model from?
Well, I was right in that you were dumb and wrong. It was just for different reasons.
No, I'm not dumb and wrong. There's two models.
But there could be Infernal stuff that's already out, because easily there could be things that are like partisan Infernal. You sure. know, like they did with Crucible Guard,
yeah,
where
like
they like
Thamorite
got things.
Marks and stuff like that.
Exactly. Exactly. Ooh,
sure.
Yeah, they could have What's-Her-Face be a Infernal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd play her then. I liked her. I played her in a...
Hey, speaking of her that everyone forgot about, there were multiple recorded instances of Connie B being played in Iron Gauntlet.
Connie B's good!
Yeah.
I assume she was being played in Mercs?
Yes.
Yeah, because she's better in Mercs.
Keith only won because the Connie B players dice shit the bed.
Connie B in Mercs is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't get the respect she deserves.
Keith playing Iron Gauntlet?
Yeah.
This year? Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't see his name... It sounded like he did not have a happy day.
He made it to round three.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Because when I looked at the list, I mm-hmm. was looking for his name in there. I'm like, I recognize this person, this person, this person. And then didn't get around all there.
Fiona the Black. I remembered.
You got there.
I always liked playing Fiona. She was good. People underestimated her. And then you'd feet and they'd be like, why won't anything work?
Nothing like playing a caster where every aspect on our card is. And what is that again?
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of fuckery on her card.
Or,
I
the,
would,
or the other ever popular. Here, can you pronounce this? If you pronounce this correctly, you get a dollar.
It turned out she was human the whole time. I never would have guessed.
I'm just not going to talk anymore because I'm just fucking everything up.
No, you're
fucking right. All shit up.
Boop, 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 boop.
No, no. Is that a-
Sense. Oh, okay.
Let's see what other important stuff. I guess
we learned what the new alternate casters were for the league for the summer.
Nemo surprised me. I'm surprised they didn't go with. I mean, everybody assumed that they were going to have more Tenebra be the alternate mm-hmm. timeline for Convergence. So Nemo, I mean, sure, Robits, but man,
it's a little.
It's more of it's a crazier what if. It's a less likely to have actually happened thing. Yeah. So it depends, you know, it's not something like Leto where yep. it's like this or Vinter, I mean, yep. where it's like this obviously yeah. would have been a possible thing. Well, this I more
think,
out there.
Yeah, the main reason I think they didn't go with Mort Nebra is just because it seems their divergence point is like 20 years ago and Mort Nebra would have been like 400 years ago.
Sure. Well, but what was the divergent point for Old Witch?
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's, yeah I mean yeah. No, well, so what I'm probably going
to
do
just, is... They probably just wanted to go a different route.
Yeah.
Fine. This was surprising.
I have my card I'll post up on online for my version of Mort Nebra.
Yes.
Yeah, history, because I built her and I built the other two. Yeah.
She had like 17 feats at the same time at one point. I think you paired it back a little.
it's paired back a little bit.
Yeah.
The main thing with my version of it is her feat... made it so you can do for your entire battle group.
Yeah, the induction range was infinitely far.
Was her in her control area.
Which is pretty cool.
Yep.
Yep.
I take full credit for that. I don't even think it was my idea, but I still take full credit.
And then there was, what, Harby and Bethane? For
yeah, Harbinger
Grimkin,
for...
Grimkin and Bethane for minions.
Yep.
Which would be interesting.
Yep.
So I assume then Bethane was she still melded with what's
well I have to see what the rules are.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like until they give us the card, because obviously there's no official model, right? Yeah. You have to do your own thing, and nothing's stopping them from just saying this is Bethane if she never had a meld.
In that fluff, she was both in Belphegor and then pulled out of Belphegor.
Right.
So they could do it either way.
Sure.
I mean, it's Dr. Arcadius, so I mean, for all we know, Belphegor will be still with her, but with steam parts.
Or she could be permanently sewn into it or something weird like that. Who knows?
It's the Belphegor with just the two little tiny arms that Bethane has.
It's just her head just on his shoulder.
Just sewn on?
Yeah.
But then there was a ton of stuff about theme forces. There's new things about CID possibly happening, possibly not happening.
There was some... I did not see it, but I hear it did not go over well. Trailer for some alternate game.
So
the Riot Quest or whatever. Yes. I have heard that it went like a lead balloon.
It's the trailer.
The trailer was bad. The trailer is Schick's missed humor at its finest.
Yeah.
The game itself actually sounds very interesting.
Sounds like Shadespire.
Yeah. Like Berman was actually posting that he did some external and some playtesting with them. Recently, and he said it was fun, and the stat they said about grinding out 3 games an hour is legit. So
maybe I need to watch the trailer just to see how terrible it is.
It is a
so you know the cutscene that brings the all your base meme.
Sure,
that's the level of animation.
Yowza!
Except for all your base is better,
but not in high def.
Correct. Yeah, it was when I saw that trailer, I was like, what the hell is this? Yeah, it looks like somebody that just learned how to do Flash.
Aww.
I mean, I'm serious.
Aww.
But yeah, the game sounds kind of cool, though. I mean, it's
a cool concept. It just marketing round two will be better.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. It sounds like Shadespire, where you're taking a small squad, and then on top of it,
it's hex based.
Yeah. Kind of like a, was it Aristia? Is that Corvus Belli's like squad based? It's a sports game for them, it's all hex based as well. Yep, and you're
okay. So we got Infernal. I mean, are we going to talk any more about any of these things or just shit them out there and then...
I mean,
how we Jeremy... We got like an hour and a half to fill.
How Jeremy do you want me to go?
You can go full. I don't care.
I have long list.
You can go full Jeremy. That's fine.
All right, you start at the top of the list and then we'll discuss them for... Holy shit, that is a long list.
This is half the list.
Fuck. All right, get going.
All right, so let's see. Exactly. Monster Apocalypse, we didn't really learn anything new. Other than
you got a preview, we got to see a preview in the keynote.
It was fleshed out. It was fleshed out a little bit more, but I mean, there wasn't really anything that we didn't know already. Other than seeing what the first tournament, so they talked a little bit about organized play for the tournament stuff and
the prizes and
So like they're doing alternate building sculpts for prizes from the whatever the Steamroller equivalent is.
And, participating in a league gets you a unique map.
Correct.
And, winning an event gets you a building.
And the maps for the leagues are everyone who participates. So that's why I feel that they're a reasonable, can be played in tournaments type setting. And then, it's alternate sculpt buildings, they said. So not exclusives, but, it's Privateer headquarters instead of the corporate headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And that's how it was in the original one, too.
No,
but I mean,
because the original one, you would get it was an alternate sculpt, but in so much as you get a quantum versus a mega version, and so it was actually a playably different model. So they were unique things that you could only get by winning an event or buying them from someone who did, obviously. Whereas this is aesthetics only. There is no actual game prize for winning, which is good.
Correct. Let's see. Oh, congratulations, Pat Dunford, for winning Iron Gauntlet again. The finals were also Pat versus Aaron Whaley, so rematch of finals, and Pat won again, so congratulations.
Awesome.
1 year, Americans won't suck.
Masters was won by some weird Grim One list with three huge bases, right?
Four huge bases.
I thought it was a Sea King and two... Oh, it's a Sea King, a Hooch Holler, and two gun carriages, right?
Correct.
Jesus.
Who thought that?
One Masters for that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The list looks amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah, Jaden found it on some battle rep on the Facebook group from some guy in Finland and went, I can play that. This looks dumb. I'll take it down to the local game store. And I was like, I haven't stopped winning with it yet.
Well, that sounds like that sounds amazing.
That's an Andy list right there.
Yeah. I mean, that was when I took four Mountain Kings to War Machine Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Blah, blah, blah. Ooh, the Ram Gen Con model is a Modpok model.
It's supposed to be Thagrosh. Is it a Brugrosh?
I think so.
Well, that's not a Modpok model at all, then.
They said it was a Modpok model, though, so I think they're move. If I understand correctly, it's a Thagrosh sculpt with Modpok rules or something like that.
Wait, since when does the Ram have models? I'm confused.
The Ram has always had models.
The Gen Con model is always in association with the Ram. That's why it's always alcohol related.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Drugon Wilder and
sure.
Scar and that. Also, it's really kind of cool, too, is that something I learned is that you can use Mompok stuff in your War Machine conversions if you want.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, because it's private
press
materials. Yep.
But, I mean, that goes against what they've been saying for, Iron Kingdoms.
Correct. They changed the rules on it relatively recently.
Can you use the Undercity stuff?
That one gets weird because they have molded bases that aren't...
Correct, but if you pull
took
them off
those bases, you should be fine.
Yep.
Similar to that, I'm going to
fucking amazing.
Do Monpok mods using my old Monpok miniatures because they're Privateer Press materials.
Wait a second.
Legal.
But chibi.
Huh? Whatever, fuck you.
No, I'm not saying this wrong. I'm just saying they're, three-quarter size.
There's already a Cthugrosh, if I remember correctly, for Mompok.
No.
All right. So what other
stuff? One of the
I mean, there's a Cthulhu faction, but it wasn't Thagrosh.
No, no, no. But I'm saying not Thagrosh, but I think there was a Cthugrosh out of those.
It was not named Cthugrosh, no.
Probably. Mm. Yeah, more likely.
All right. I can check, but I do not believe it was Thagrosh with a Cthulhu tentacles on his face.
No, no. But I'm I was just saying the name sounds very familiar right. from one of those models that was in the original Mompok.
I Cthulhu understand.
So, yep, sorry, Dan.
No worries. Scorn's next theme is going to be Immortals. They're getting a giant statue battle engine. They're getting, what else are they getting? Some other Immortal stuff.
You're probably thinking of Cthugrosh.
I am?
Yeah.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not that stupid this whole episode.
But... It's spelled... Legionnaires put Cthutagrosh. He put an extra... I'm blaming him. Fuck you, chat.
Yeah. That immortal statue looks fucking amazing.
Yes. However, battle engine.
Yeah. Wow. They have said that it is actually making their life a little hard for scheduling that CID, though, because they refuse to schedule that until they actually see it made by the production staff, because there are... They don't want to launch that one until they know they can actually make the model.
Sure.
Well, skipping ahead to the CID live stuff from yesterday a little bit, they were working on Construct Warbeast and had to pull them because they couldn't produce them physically.
Oh, darn. Well,
which seems weird. I mean, there's got to be a pose that works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what's 100% up with that.
Especially like with plastics existing, like obviously physiologically speaking, the molds work for something like Immortals, right? Mm-hmm. So if you just make Immortals twice as big, the mold still will work. And if weight's the issue, you just have them out of plastic. And then where's the problem?
Yeah. So I don't know what they were going for aesthetic wise or whatnot. So, but in any case,
just cast it in brass. It'll
be fine.
It'll be fine. you just thunk that right onto the table.
Yeah. So Steelhead theme with a Empower guy and three artillery pieces that are going to be scary as hell under Damiano.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what kind of CID they said they're doing Steelhead CID basically now instead of the Pirate CID they originally announced.
Correct.
With this many new Steelheads coming out, they got to do
something
about
them.
Correct.
And they said there's actually a new Steelhead theme coming.
But I saw that they were not going to be making changes to your regulars.
Correct. It's on the watch list, but it's not on the actual change list.
Yeah, that's
currently.
What I thought. Yeah. And also to say too, just because, and I'm sure I don't know if it was covered in the CID talks at all, but just because something's it's been pulled off the CID doesn't mean it can't go back in.
Correct.
I mean it's an ever evolving process.
I say well, what's happening is we're seeing a lot closer to we're learning a lot more about how they're doing production stuff, and a lot of those decisions lately seems to be materials driven more than even rules driven. A quote from some with time over the weekend is Jason Souls has seen over a dozen character lights. Beasts go through rules development and none of them have come out as actual models. So we're just seeing a lot more of production stuff, so I don't know if this is another someone dropped the mold like happened to the Desters or what, but
wah, wah.
Hey, you're not supposed to use that term.
You don't use that term when it's a child being put in prison. Fucking A.
Yeah, it's disturbing because that honestly is like one of my favorite things to say, and now it's
fine. No, it's a perfectly fine thing to say as long as you're not a public official making that noise to mock a retarded child who was taken away from his parents and put in a cage. Other situation, you're okay.
I'm so happy I tuned out of most of the news this week.
Did you at least see that? It was like a Republican advisor.
I just was like,
oh my God, it was insane. Like, someone's like, this mentally disabled kid is taking his parents. And the guy just goes, womp, womp. It's like, Jesus fuck, dude, you're on television. Even if you're thinking womp, womp, keep it in there.
Yeah, I saw the news story. I'm like, work is too busy for me to be this.
We just been dropped from Twitch.
Let's see what other fun stuff from Keynote. Bane Knights are getting pseudo Shadow Shift back.
Oh, no.
Repo 3 and Defensive Strike mini feat, so it's very similar to Shadow Strike, but without the game-breaking repetitiveness.
And that's only with the commander, though. So
correct.
Hopefully it's not granted, so they just have it all the time.
Well, if it's a mini feat, it's a mini feat.
Yeah. Oh, mini feat? Oh, that's fine.
As long as it's for, like...
It's defensive strike for one round.
Right. So. Defensive strike can still trigger on your opponent's turn, so you can get the fucking mirror match, lose track of whose turn it is, shadow shift bullshit again.
Except they don't move because of it.
Oh, the Repo 3 is unrelated?
Correct.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, yes. That's fine, then.
Yeah, they brought back all the effects of Shadow Shift without the game-breaking combination of it.
Fucking A, man. Shadow Shift. So it's also great, like, if you, like, did a spray and you missed, like, six of them, and then they'd move one guy six times, and, good times.
And then there's a Clockatress.
Yes!
Yeah, I think it looks... the concept art on that thing looks awesome.
Clockwork Beast.
But I'm sure people were also upset too because that's not convergence.
Yeah, but it's a clockwork beast. It's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a beast of clocks.
Correct. Which is different than being
a clockwork beast. Yes,
a beast of clocks. Yes.
Some circle stuff that I don't care about.
Circle's lame. Who cares?
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty much uninspired by the Tharn.
Well, I mean, they're going to be amazing. Week one of CID, but I just don't care. So
we'll hear all about it when David creates a broken army out of it.
Correct.
On Wednesday.
Sure.
Other fun stuff we learned yesterday. Gorshade 4 is getting reworked. Completely redone. Desters might actually work.
Yeah, I saw the changes that they listed for Desters looked interesting and looked to catch what they wanted them to feel like they were doing in a much cleaner way.
Correct. They lose Assault, they lose Gunfighter, they lose Quick Work, they gain Dual Attack, and gain a new rule, Close Volley. If they charge in and hit with their lance, then they immediately shoot it.
Well, they auto-hit with their gun attack.
Auto-hit with the gun attack that they have with Dual Attack. So either they charge in and get two shots, or two POW 14 hits on something, or they charge in, kill something, and then shoot something else.
Which is what Assault and Gunfighter and Quick Work did.
Should have done.
Like, that's the same mechanics in a cleaner rules way.
Correct.
Yeah.
Someone will still complain they have lances.
Fine. Fuck them.
Even though that also helps because now you, because lance is only for the charge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, it's only
well, actually, dual attack lets you shoot out of melee, otherwise, yeah. Never mind. So you have multiple ways of shooting out of melee, because you also just have no melee. Raven's getting some changes. There's a new battle engine, which is a tank.
Sweet. Yeah, it's a flying, like, Eldar tank.
Yep. Sweet. That is moved 3 years up in the production cycle.
Well, one of the things I thought I saw, too, is, and I made a quote on it, and... I've been getting notifications for it since because it's exploded. Somebody mentioned about putting Discordia into the war, Forges of War.
Oh, it's not going in.
Yeah. It's not going in there because one of the things they said is they would have to nerf her in order to put her so she's available to all the other casters. I'm like, no, you don't nerf her. You just take Ron, and then you could take her in Forges of War.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can take her in Forges of War.
Yeah.
You just take Ron.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people saying, it was like, well, we should just nerf her so we can have other casters have her. It's like, no.
So thing one.
There's a lot of theme forces out there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure maybe, but that you can't take a character Jack in...
The once again reminder, themes are designed to limit models. They are not changing it so that every model can be taken in everything.
Correct. Point one, you can take her in there, just take Ron. Point two, themes exist for a reason and to make it so you can't take everything and everything. And point three, we don't get to decide to nerf her to put her in the fucking theme. It's not your game, you entitled shit fuckers. Exactly. Okay?
I stopped paying attention to that as soon as I started getting like a ton of messages. I'm like, I'm out.
What should we do? We shouldn't do anything. Shut up. Private Repress can do what they want, and if they want your info, they'll do a fucking CID, and until then, shut up and stop tagging them in Facebook threads. God, how annoying must that be for the Wills? Like, they're just sitting at home eating tacos and jerking it, and just update after update where they're tagged and posts because somebody wants to know the reasons.
My favorite is when Pagani gets tagged for Hungerford stuff.
Yes! Oh, my Lord. Leave them alone.
More stuff with Rhett, which we'll all see in like 2 weeks anyways.
Is that so the next cycle is Rhett
yep.
in a couple weeks?
Couple That's weeks.
I will have to pull up my painted Rhett.
people will be whining about this one. They flat out said the Siege Entrometrics is above the curve, but not in the nerf zone.
it's really only really crazy in one character list. I mean, that's with Resheth, it's...
I mean, Zadesh is annoying, but, sure. You know, yes, there's one thing, and there are other ways of dealing with it, so, you know.
I mean, you can take out Derp Turtles.
It's no pre-nerf Ghost Fleet.
Correct, yeah.
Yep. Get good. Yep. Circle stuff is definitely post-Gen Con at this point, so some of the stuff they've even talked about is not locked yet.
Also should note, too, for people kind of upset about the CID cycle, too, is each CID takes about 3 months, and then there's like a period of at least like a month, 2 months in between each CID cycle.
I mean, they have accelerated it, but yeah. Even still, you know, they can only put so much stuff through so quickly.
And you don't want to accelerate it too much, because if you do, you can't get enough meaningful test data.
Correct. Let's skip ahead, since we're on that note. The Christmas releases from last year are not happening again. They are splitting it up into multiple waves. They still want to give everyone a model at least once a year.
Yeah.
But they realize that they almost killed Will last year doing 12 factions at once. and this is now moving into editorialness, but I think they acknowledge that some of the stuff is from that cycle and the Battle Engine cycle is rougher than it should be, because there was just too many moving parts for them to give everything the attention it should have been.
Trying to go around 13 different factions.
Yep.
And try to pull data.
That's, correct. Well, and someone else, I don't remember where I saw it, brought up a good point of when you have a subset of the game in CID at any one time, you have people who are going, yay, I'm getting new models, and you have a group of people saying, no, you can't actually do that without it being okay. If all 12 factions are in there at once...
13
are in there at once, everyone's just cheering for their own stuff.
Right.
And you don't have as much stuff coming in from people
approaching actually legitimately testing that stuff. They're just,
well, and going from the opposite perspective of, you know, and they, you know, a good example is, you know, if you don't like what's faction X, you might be posting stuff that's just as invalid, but from the other angle, and they can still get some data out of that.
Right.
You know, because it's not the fanboy make my stuff as powerful as possible. You know, they get at least some negative feedback in there as well. So
the fanboy and the hater cancel each other out.
Correct. And you can't do that when everything's in there at once. They also said that by splitting it into groups, they're also going to bring in some legacy models with those factions as well, so they can do the more balanced type touches and stuff without having to wait on a production cycle that may be now 3 years out, like, for instance, for Red.
Sure.
So,
so we're not going to see that Battle Engine for, like, 3 years?
No, it's coming out.
Oh, it's coming
out. It's probably a Bahi model later this year at this point.
Okay.
But... that's, you know, cool. It was one of the things. They moved it up significantly in the thing. Key things right now from Circle. Nuala's new mini feat is change prey target, which is pretty cool.
Hmm. What was her mini feat?
I don't it was bad.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. Basically, was it of note?
No.
I don't remember. I mean,
part of the problem is we don't have a lot of Circle play in Madison, so every time I play someone out of town playing Circle, I lose because I don't know what anything does. So
yeah,
that's why the other reason why
she had no mini feet.
Correct. Oh well, there we go.
So that's why it was of not of note.
It was of no note. Yeah. Brennos is now 15 points instead of 19, and a bunch of changes. Ferals are 16. Getarex 19. Stalkers 17.
Where were they before? Is it just an adjustment point down for them?
Ferals were, I think, 18, Stalkers were 19, and Getarex was 21.
Okay, so yeah.
That's like minus two each.
Yeah,
that's pretty significant. They're all those beasts are, all the Ferals are.
Yeah. I mean, and I think every Circle heavy except Getarex will have Pathfinder, is the plan.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the Satyrs.
No, those are getting them too.
Yeah, but I mean...
Goats have good feats.
That's actually very true,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the goats not having Pathfinder to begin with made no sense.
What about Gorax? Someone has Gorax with an asterisk in chat. It might not have Pathfinder. I would love if it got Pathfinder, because then, you know, that makes Arcadius list better.
I'm sorry, Nate. They had planned to do a convergence development cycle, but that got pulled.
Yeah, and it's even worse, because apparently, like, yeah, there was a lot of good stuff in there. And it's like, well, fuck you, then. Do the good stuff. If you had good stuff, do it. But whatever. Convergence is okay.
As long as it's not some awkward DC is gone and we can't use something thing, which I am hoping that they didn't get into a set of, but their legal team has surprised me
before. Oh, it's Monpak all over again! yeah, well, I mean, perforators are really the only thing that's garbage. I mean, everything else is playable. There's tweaks I would do.
Don't they just auto points?
No.
But they can't hit anything.
No, they're armor piercing.
Oh, okay. But they're armor piercing sixes?
Their armor piercing, I believe, sixes, yeah. And they can
go up to eights.
Yeah, they either give themselves snipe or plus two damage.
Okay.
So they can be an armor piercing eight.
Well, and
but they it's also a medium base, though.
That's the thing. It's like a five-man medium base unit, and they have assault, great. And, yeah. I mean,
but we're seeing medium bases again. Do you have to bring out your anti-meat mountain list that we worked on back in Mark II?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
So,
but that's the issue. Is like they're depressingly enough, they are the long gunners of Convergence. They are the long range guns in Convergence. Is perforators? They have they are the longest range of any infantry. Yeah.
Wow. Are they the longest range of anything except for Iron Mother Jacks?
No, I don't think. Well, if you count the assault plus sniping, they for touch sure. the furthest. Yep. Yeah.
But they're probably just super expensive, though, too, aren't they?
I mean, they're medium-based infantry. 18, yeah. They're medium-based infantry.
There are 8-box medium infantry that are still armor 15 or 16.
Yeah, I mean, they're not garbage. You just would literally never take them ever in any list ever.
Sure.
Which I guess is the definition of garbage. It's just on paper. Like, if there were no choices and I was forced to have them in a list and someone just said, here, you must run these or we cut off your fingers, like, I can make them work okay-ish. But that's not.
You can get along without fingers.
Yeah.
I mean,
if I had to win a game with them. No. I mean, they're just. Yeah. So they're range 6. They're speed 5. So that's 11, 12, 13, 14. They can snipe up to 18. So, I mean, that's, boom, shooting really far out and missing with that rat 5, and that's that. And you only get 5 shots because it's a.
If you're going down that rabbit hole, you might as well go down the full way. So you're playing Aurora, so they reach 20.
Sure. But.
And that way you can blame someone else for losing as well.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the concept of what they do. It's just that they don't. They are
only good with the 7th best conversion skill.
Yeah. That I'll agree with. Yeah. She's by far the 7th best conversion skill. But hey, she's in top 7. Good for her. Good for her. Lucky number 7.
And then last lock and load thing that I saw a note was they talked about how they're still working on more limited faction things, but apparently Matt Wilson hates bugs, so don't ask for bugs.
What do you mean bugs?
Like, as an aesthetic. Like, literal.
Insects.
Yes.
Not like programming bugs.
Yeah. Well, that would be an interesting faction to put into Convergence.
Just so, like, they'd have missing no as a...
They'd just have issues,
Yeah.
It'd just be a Convergence army assembled wrong.
So, does the bug faction work in War Room, then?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's you have to play with War Room.
I don't know what my faction's going to be.
So it's only tangentially related, but one of my favorite things that a CCG ever did was DC Versus. You remember the Versus card game? There's a Marvel version as well, but this was for the DC Versus, had a card that was Bizarro World.
Okay.
Where Bizarro is from.
Sure.
And the text on the card just said, check the website. And it had the website's address. And they changed every once in a while what the card did.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Which is super cool. Like, just every month or two, they'd be like, yeah, that card does something else now. And it's a way to get around the physical card changing. It's just they had the website on it.
Here's your QR code. Scan it during the game and hope it didn't change after between the last round.
Right? It was super cool.
All right, that is my lock and load report.
Good job, DeChort.
Yay! I knew we brought Dan on for a reason.
I was your last hope.
Yeah, yes, that's true. It was Dan or cancel it.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
And really, it was still a coin flip.
We had a couple guys answer. We had one other person answer the Pegasus Legion call out, but
was somebody even worse than Dan?
Somebody else wanted to be on the podcast. I'm thinking about having him come on. He could talk about scoring.
Is it Brian?
No.
Is Brian coming back?
Brian did say, though, he thought the new Colossus or the new battle engine for Scorn was neat. That was a quote. That's when I said it to him.
So he'll buy one and put it in his cube.
Brian will buy one. I doubt if Brian will be playing any type of miniature.
Oh, I'm not saying he'll ever play with it. He'll buy it, make you put it together.
Oh,
and then put it in his cube.
I don't. He's starting to go minimalist on everything now. He's starting to get rid of almost all of his board games. Not all of his board games. He's getting rid of a significant amount. But yeah, no, Origins was last week as well. Didn't do anything for that because I couldn't. So anybody got anything else to talk about?
I
mean,
I thought we'd talk about Lock and Load a lot more in depth, and then we didn't. True story. I didn't even see any movies. I was going to go see Incredibles 2 or Solo, and then I got to the theater and everything was sold out, and then I went home. True story.
You didn't check Fandango beforehand?
No, because we were right by there.
Oh, all right.
I got off work, and we just drove by because it was faster than going to Fandango.
Well, that's good, then. Thinking about it, so if Solo was sold out...
And you
out,
got out of work.
I don't think so. I don't... Solo wasn't sold out. It was only showing like three times a day, and the next showing was like 2 hours later. And
sure.
I was like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. Womp womp.
I can do a Samba story.
Yeah, Dan's wife got to experience Samba for the first time. Yeah.
Oof.
So I was telling her about it, and she's like, so all you can eat meat, what's the catch? I'm like, there is no catch other than potentially price, but it's a date night, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, and the price is, it can get pricey.
Sundays?
Sunday mornings.
Well, I mean, it was one of those things like, okay.
So date night, and it's not that expensive.
No, it wasn't really that bad. And like I said, you know, we planned to go out for a nice meal, and I'm like, let's do Sambas.
I remembered I do have a movie story, but tell your Samba story and then remind me.
So, and then, you know, as I wanted to, every time I do that kind of thing, I had to go like, hey, Nate, I had chicken. And it was the wrong choice.
Yeah, it's always the wrong choice.
Yeah. Yeah. That chicken guy starts walking to your table, you just like immediately turn that thing, that tumbler over.
The problem was I got spoiled by whatever the place in Milwaukee is, which had good chicken.
Sure. The chicken in Samba is fine. It just tastes like...
It's dry.
It's not fine. It is really mediocre. If I went to like a cafeteria and they served me that barbecue chicken, I'd be like, oh, prison food. Mm-hmm. So compared to the rest of it, it's really bad. Yep.
But the nice thing was our table was the very first one out of the kitchen area for the pineapple guy's route.
Oh, nice, nice. That roasted pineapple is something amazing. It is so good.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was tasty.
Samba is basically a Brazilian steakhouse type, or is it?
It is a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was called a steakhouse or not.
True fans of this podcast would know this.
Yeah.
So I did go and see Jurassic World with the family.
I wanted to see Jurassic World.
You do not want to see Jurassic World.
Was Jurassic Park 3 better?
It's even worse than Jurassic World 1. Fallen Kingdom
My favorite review I've seen so far was, it was fine, but why was this ever made?
It wasn't even... So, like, if I was going to have a drinking game for Jurassic World, it's...
One or two.
The new one. Okay. Fallen Empire or Fallen Kingdom, whatever the fuck it's called, is drink every time somebody you're watching it with goes... Because I did that at least 50 times during that movie, as did my son-in-law next week. Just like this confused, wait, what? Like, because nothing made any fucking sense in that whole movie. It's just random gibberish. Random stupid gibberish.
It sounds like Jurassic Park 3 is a better film.
It is. By far. By far.
Jurassic Park 3 is a gem. And I've seen some stuff being posted on it recently.
That movie destroyed the best scene from the first book.
Oh, well, I didn't read the book, so. But I mean, like Jurassic Park 3, that one, I've seen some people posting, and I've seen on like Rotten Tomatoes and other sites, people saying, like, it's got some good parts in it.
I mean, it does prove that Inokia will survive anything. But.
Correct. That was a great running gag in that movie. Like, Jurassic Park 3 is fine as long as you're like, I'm going to watch something really terrible. And then you watch and you're like, that was great. Wasn't that terrible? Yeah, high five.
Spinosaurus was good. Spinosaurus was great.
Okay, real high five. Sorry, I had a hypothetical high five. There was a real high five. But no, fucking Fallen Empire. Is Kingdom Empire? I don't even fucking know.
Who
think
cares?
It's Kingdom. Jurassic World
it's
2.
It's not worth this title.
Nonsensical garbage pants. So I'm just fucking spoil all kinds of stuff because this is all stupid. So
we will save you from spending $10 to see this movie.
So is it as good as Lost World then?
This is the worst Jurassic Park movie by far.
Okay, so it's worse than Lost World. Because in my category of Jurassic Park is Jurassic Park 1, Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
The newer Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Lost World, the first one.
Yeah.
And then
the Lost World. And then it seems like that this one will probably be so, the bottom of the barrel.
I think Lost World I might like better than Jurassic World, just because, yeah, the uneven bars thing is really stupid. But, I mean, it's fun enough. Like, it's got stuff that doesn't make sense. So you know how you're like, wait, how did a T-Rex escape, murder everybody on a ship, yeah, and then lock itself back in the hold? That's all of this movie, is okay, those questions. Just right, constantly. So, like,
is Ian Malcolm in this one, too?
Yes.
Okay.
For no reason. He's in it for, like, 10 seconds at the beginning and 10 seconds at the end, just so they could have him in the trailers.
Is he the sex appeal in this one?
Or? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a super, that's, super
did you see
hottie,
that one? Where it's, like, Jurassic Park 1 is amazingly feminist because all the dinosaurs are female. The paleontologist is female and does all the work, and Malcolm just sits around with his shirt off the entire movie.
Yep, the eye candy is Jeff Goldblum, which my wife approves of. She's got the biggest crush on him, which makes no sense to me, but that's fine. I have crushes that don't make sense to her, so that's how life goes. So the villains, so the island's going to blow up because there's a volcano on it, which means so much for sparing no expense. Spare the expense of building the park on a different fucking island, idiot. But the island...
Is this Sorna and...
This is Nublar.
Okay.
This is the one they literally built the park on in the first movie,
okay,
and rebuilt the park on in the fourth movie.
Got it.
Is now so blowing up because there's a giant volcano on it. It's not Site B.
Yeah, it's not the production one.
Site B apparently doesn't exist because it's a critical plot point in this movie that when this volcano blows up, all dinosaurs will die. So Site B just vanished into the ether at some point. Maybe in Lost World, Pete Postlethwaite actually captured all of the dinosaurs, and then they incinerated them in a furnace. I don't know. But the point is, Isla Nublar is going to blow up. All the dinosaurs are going to die. So this rich guy is like, hey, I'm going to send you guys on an excursion to get the dinosaurs so that we can save them. So they go and they rescue the dinosaurs and they get
why?
Like,
what?
Huh?
I'm already doing why.
Well, why? Because you just build more.
Also, why?
Well, so that's the thing. The movie starts actually trying to be interesting by saying, should we save these dinosaurs, right? Because they went extinct. Are they like any other animal where we should protect them?
They keep coming out and killing everyone.
Well, and they keep coming out and killing everybody, but so do tigers, whatever.
Yes, but
so,
eventually someone will be like, I'm going to make a raptor bomb.
What? What? Never. Speaking of which, somebody's going to make a raptor bomb. No, so they send them to go rescue the things, but it was all a trick. They grab one each of 11 different species to take back because...
One each?
Yeah. I think they grab three or four or something.
Okay.
Like, it's a random number.
I know, but...
They get what they can. Like, they get one brontosaurus, but they get, like, three or four compies, and then they get two
so
triceratopses.
They doom him to be lonely and
they don't even
celibate.
Noah's Ark it. Yes. Because the plan isn't to let the dinosaurs fuck. The evil people get back to the main... What?
What's Somebody's wrong? Making a thump noise.
Oh, that was me. Sorry.
Okay.
The evil people take those dinosaurs back to their secret lair, and they auction them off to people like arms dealers and whatnot. Because those people, in theory... This guy pays
dinosaurs.
Correct. So if North Korea bids like $20 million for the T-Rex, they get the T-Rex, they take them back to North Korea, and they start cloning them. And now North Korea has T-Rexes. So that's the premise of what the evil people are doing, is they're auctioning off, you have this dinosaur now, infinite supply, because you can create
all,
more of them.
All this has done is make me want to see the sequel. Because I've seen Multiplicity. I want to see what number 4 T-Rex looks like.
Yeah, none of that happens. So that's the premise. Fine. Okay?
Sure.
Fine.
Does Canelli show up and buy that in the next Wu-Tang album?
Right. So now the issue. Number one, hey, surprise, eventually dinosaurs get loose and start eating everybody.
Because
so
that's what they do.
Why they're eating everybody, the evil people scramble to clear out their evil lab under their evil lair, and they do so by taking just bucketfuls of vials of dinosaur samples and throwing them into, like, duffel bags and then running.
Okay.
Questions?
Yeah! So,
why do you need dinosaurs, then?
So here's,
also, they
here's
need to
like
be kept
three or
cold.
Four, yeah, here's three or four sub... Well, like, they'll put ice in there. Like, but the point is...
Well, put them in a goddamn shaving can.
Here's three or four sub-questions there. One, so if you're selling North Korea T-Rex so that they have T-Rex, but you've got buckets of T-Rex blood in your basement... Why do they need to buy a T-Rex? You could have just sold them T-Rex blood,
so
right?
It's exclusive,
also, do
not
they
exclusive?
Do they know exclusive's not exclusive, or are you fucking them over? But thing two,
wait, hold on, was this EA?
Yes. Thing two, if you have the dinosaur blood, why couldn't you just sell the blood to the people instead of a dinosaur? And if the answer is, well, you wanted the dinosaur as a floor model to get them to want to buy it? Thing three, build a fucking dinosaur instead of funding the excursion to a blowing up island to try to grab the dinosaurs that are fighting with you and don't want to be trank darted. Why? Any of that? Why any of that? So then the evil guy gets...
The second thing.
Sure. Yeah. So when the, before the auction, when the evil guy gets back from... Well, he gets a phone call.
Quick
like,
question. Yeah. Who is the evil guy?
Some smarmy piece of
no,
shit
No, actual actor.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, some guy I didn't important. Recognize from anything.
Okay.
The dude from The Thing is the other guy, though. So
Wilford Brimley?
No. You're close, though. First Contact, the guy that does the first warp flight. I think he's also Cromwell. James Cromwell.
Yeah.
James Cromwell is the rich guy that sends them to save the dinosaurs, and he thinks they actually are going to save the dinosaurs because he loves the dinosaurs, and he was not Ian Malcolm. He was old dude.
Hammond.
He was Hammond's partner before they had a falling out. Oh, whatever.
Okay.
Point is, he's not the evil guy. The evil guy kills him because he betrays him. Whatever. So the evil guy gets a phone call from the people like, yeah, we got the dinosaur off the island. We're on our way back. You can get things going.
it's just I'm on IMDb and it's just a picture of
Jeff Goldblum
with his shirt off.
So
that's the first thing that popped up.
So then, like, evil guy's secretary comes in and is like, your 12 o'clock appointment's here. And he's like, all right, excellent. He goes down, and there's a smarmy dude there. And evil guy's like, hey, smarmy dude, good to meet you in person. And smarmy dude's like, you're wasting my time. Where's the dinosaurs? I don't deal with amateurs. I'm here to set up this auction with all these other people, and you're wasting my time because you're not ready for me. And it's like...
It's Mike Myers?
Dude. Fucking A. Like, this guy has all the dinosaurs that exist. Like... If you're going to be a shit, if I was an evil guy and this guy started talking down to me, I'd be like, fine, get the fuck out of my house. I can literally call anyone on the planet and make $1 billion. Who are you? This is a seller's market.
I'll save the dinosaurs.
Yeah, like, I don't... What? And then... So the little girl's running from the... they genetically engineer another dinosaur, because of course they do. Because
they need to sell toys.
It's the big stupid killer thing.
It's the Indoraptor, which is a crossbreed between the Indominus Rex and a Velociraptor. Pay no attention to the fact that the Indominus Rex was already part raptor. So this is part all other dinosaurs and additional parts raptor. So they breed that thing as a perfect killing machine. And it does, like, you can target it to kill certain people. You don't just, like, throw it into a country and let it murder everybody. You have a dude with, like, a gun, and he turns on the laser scope and points it at somebody, and the raptor's like, oh, that guy's got the laser scope on him. That's my target. And then you push a button, and your gun goes wubba, 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 and it goes, oh, the audio signal, and it kills that one specific guy. How about instead you put the laser scope on a guy and you pull a trigger, and instead of going wubba 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 and making a dinosaur attack him, it shoots him and then he's dead and you don't need a fucking dinosaur. What? You need a dude just standing there pointing the raptor at individual people?
I want my sniper rifle to do wubba 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 before
just
it shoots.
Send a giant dinosaur.
Yeah.
What the fuck kind of plan is that? Why is that what it's programmed to do? I'll give you a hint. It's programmed to do that so they can use it to kill it in the climax at the end. And that's the only reason it's programmed to do that.
I know, but that is unironically amazing. I would love that effect. It's just... Like, that sounds like a cheesy Quake Mata thing.
Right?
Are we showing the laser, too? Is it, like, in the head, too?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
It's a full-on, like, a laser pointer.
No, but I mean, like, where they're showing the laser is going to the person? Is it, like, showing, like, where if he would pull a trigger, it would go through a vital organ?
Like, the guy pushes a button, and a dot just shows up on the dude's chest. And then the raptor's like, oh, ball, ball, ball. And then he pushes the thumb button, and the raptor eats the dude. Like, it legit is a laser point dot. That goes on the person that easily could have been on a sniper rifle instead of a raptor attracting gun.
Mm.
Also, the raptor attracting gun is also a fully functional rifle. So, whatever. So, this thing is angry, and it's chasing a little girl, and they're on the first floor of a mansion. The mansion that's above the evil lair.
Like, is her brother the stuff that we see pointing in the trailer a laser pointer at her?
Huh?
It's like her brother pointing a laser pointer
at her? No, it also just randomly attacks people, so it's double stupid that it has a directory. But, so, it's an umbrella style where the evil lair's in the basement, and they're on the first floor, and this thing's attacking everybody, and the little girl runs from it, and it chases her up to the second floor, where she gets in a dumbwaiter in exactly the same pull the door down as fast as you can before you get killed thing that happened in Jurassic Park, because it's a callback, because this movie has nothing creative or interesting or original at all. So she gets in a dumbwaiter, and she goes up to the fourth floor where her bedroom is. So
she has a dumbwaiter in their bedroom?
Really fucking rich people is the answer.
I guess that makes sense.
Like,
you know,
people who can own an island full of dinosaurs. So she takes the dumbwaiter all the way up. Chekhov's raptor gun. So dinosaurs on second floor. She goes up through a hidden passage to the fourth floor.
Yep.
So the dinosaur immediately, they do not show this portion, but it leaves the house, climbs up the outside of the house to the roof. Now they show it because they need the dramatic it's against the moonlight shot. Then it climbs down off the roof onto her balcony to gingerly open her balcony door to go in to slowly attack only her.
So that, because
there's like 100 other screaming people running around.
Okay, so that was what they showed in the trailer then too.
And they thought
did
that
she had the wubba wubba gun.
She had nothing. Okay. There was literally no reason for this thing to give a shit about her at all. There's nothing. It just saw her, chased her to a dumbwaiter, and went, I better go outside, climb on the roof, climb down onto a random balcony, open the door very gingerly, and then check on a bed under the blankets in case the one person I was just chasing happened to have gone there.
Is it an ICE agent?
Yes. Yes. Then it grabs her and it puts her in a cage. Like, why?
Probably would that have made the movie better?
Anything would have made the movie better. Like, why did it? What? Why?
I don't know why you're asking me.
It's so dumb. Just ever, the whole movie is just nobody. Why did anybody do anything ever?
It's kind of, I mean, when we first saw the trailers for it too, is like, why are we? I mean. Trying to figure out.
I thought that when I saw the Jurassic World trailer, it was, why are we doing this again? But
I liked at least the steps that they were trying to do with Jurassic World, because there was the movie itself was really about reinventing Jurassic Park. That is, and that's what the whole movie was about.
Also, I particularly despise British nannies and love any time one is brutally tortured to death for no reason.
Oh, that happens in
the first one in Jurassic World.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
We're just like, fuck that nanny in particular.
Yeah, she gets...
I mean, I would have, but... I mean,
she gets absolutely destroyed in that
film. For no
film,
reason!
The pterodactyl into the giant, the giant crocodile thing.
It's the most horrific death.
Yeah.
Also, in this movie, not once, but twice, the heroes are in trouble. A T-Rex shows up. The T-Rex. There's only one. T-Rex shows up.
T-Rex?
Yeah, there's only one T-Rex in all the Jurassic Park movies.
No, there was. Well,
oh, there was
three. Three.
Oh, no, there's a set. That's true. And this is the same one from Isla Nublar. Sure. So it is the one from One and World and yep. This one. It's that same girl. The ones, you're right, the ones from Lost World that escaped into America is a different one.
Yeah.
But so...
And she got deported.
Yes. So not once, but twice, people are in trouble. She shows up to rescue them, to roar at the screen so that you can have a trailer shot like the end of the first movie, and then go away and do nothing. It does that fucking twice in this movie.
Does she
They rip
anyone?
Off the ending of Jurassic Park twice!
Does she eat anyone on the toilet this time?
No, but they do recreate the other most inexplicably terrible death in a Jurassic Park movie, which is the nice guy in Lost World who rescues them when they go over the cliff by driving the Jeep backwards to tow them up out of the cliff while two T-Rexes attack him.
Man, I do not remember Lost World.
Because he's the nicest guy. He's literally the nicest person. He risks his life to save these people. And by risks his life, I mean is horrifically murdered.
Yes.
Because after he pulls him off the cliff, two T-Rexes rip him in half.
I do remember that.
Yeah, that happens to Evil Guy at the end of this. It's a T-Rex and an Allosaurus just rip him in half. So, spoiler, but the movie fucking sucks.
Is there someone gets randomly eaten by Compi's death in this one?
You think he's going to die to Compi's. Because after everybody's escaping, he's outside and you see a bunch of Compi's jump up. And you're like, oh, he's going to get Compi'd. And then the T-Rex two other big things rip him in half. Also, so they let all the dinosaurs loose. So now the dinosaurs are loose. But that's fine. There's only like 11 of them, so who cares? But according to the end speech by Ian Malcolm, for no reason, that means that the world has fallen to dinosaurs.
I mean, but they'll meet up with the Sorna dinosaurs who escaped after Jurassic Park 3.
Well, and the duffel bags full of DNA are going to make more dinosaurs, which is completely unrelated to the 11 that escaped, so they don't have anything to do with each other.
The vials will break it and will all mix together, and then...
Because that's how you make better dinosaurs.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, Godzilla will be summoned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did the Spinosaurus die in 3? I can't remember.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
I don't think it
does, because they... Well, it depends. Does the U.S. military just show up and scare it off, or do they shoot it?
Oh, yeah, because they just show up at the very end. Yeah, all full force. Okay.
Yeah, but we don't know what they do. They could run onto the island and all get eaten.
That's true.
All we do is see the landing. When they're like, come on, guys, we got this.
Maybe they try and napalm Malcolm again.
Yes. Yeah, kill his corpse a third time. See if it sticks.
God, I still say that was my biggest disappointment about Jurassic World, the first Jurassic World, is when they didn't have a callback to the fucking Spinosaurus. All they had to do is just have somebody's cell phone just play that ringtone in the middle of like trying to hide from the dinosaurs or something like that, and that would have been amazing.
Well, if you like callbacks, you like this one.
But there's no Spinosaurus callback, though.
Do you remember how in the beginning of Jurassic World, Chris Pratt's character, whose name I don't remember because he's not even really a character because they don't give him any character growth, and then the other lady, who has no character growth either, used to be dating, but now they don't like each other, and then they go and fight dinosaurs together, and then somehow that makes them love each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that plot again.
Oh, the same one. Exact same one again.
Yeah, no, at the start of the movie, they used to be dating, and they don't like each other, and then they fight dinosaurs, and now they're in love again. Ugh. You just like that plot? We'll just do it fucking again. Because we suck. Suck real bad.
So what happened with the whole lion and the T-Rex scene? Was that even in the film?
Yeah, after they release all the dinosaurs, the T-Rex goes to a zoo and roars at a lion for no reason.
Oh, okay.
And then the movie ends.
Oh, so that was the end shot?
Yeah, that's like the end shot is Blue on a ridge looking over suburbia. So like Blue escaped and is probably going to kill a couple hundred random suburban people. Happy ending. Then he'll get hit by a bus or a random cop will kill it.
Or Chekhov's raptor gun.
Yeah. Oh, fucking A. So dumb. There's other dumb stuff. Oh, and speaking of callback to rants I've had previous things about LGBTQAWXYZ plus minus representation in Hollywood films. So there's a character... In this, there's a strong, independent woman. So, of course, it turns out in the original script she was a lesbian. So she was going to have a line calling out the fact that she was a lesbian, and they cut it, just like they cut Valkyrie being bisexual in Thor Ragnarok. But the line she had calling her out as a lesbian was straight up just ridiculing it. Because her line was going to be, I'm gay, but you, Chris Pratt's character, are so hot, I'm no longer the gay, just for you.
Was this like in a trivia thing or something?
It was cut from the... Because they talk about... Because Hollywood likes to claim their characters are gay without actually having them be gay because that would risk ticket sales. And so they mentioned that she had that line originally. Yeah. She had that line and it got cut. It's like, wow. Like, I know I was saying keep this shit in there, but cut that one. Like, cut the fuck out of that one.
Yeah.
I'm straight for you, Spider-Man. Ugh. So don't.
Just don't,
Jurassic World.
I'll have to timestamp this, and I can just make this into a pain train itself.
Oh my god! The only way it can
so is it better or worse than 2015's masterpiece, RoboCop?
Oh, it might be better in only that the ending of this obviously sets up a Jurassic World 3 that is just Dino Riders. Like, if Jurassic World 3, it's just every military on the planet rides dinosaurs into battle with each other, and that's the world we live in, I'm okay with it because it brought us that movie.
So it's like Planet of the Apes, but with dinosaurs.
Actually, take your concept and combine it with Fury Road.
Yeah.
And then I'm in.
Yeah. Like, that. If it is Fury Road, but all the cars are replaced with, like, Triceratopses, that would make this movie worth it.
There was an amazing Kickstarter I did not support it at all, but I watched it. But they had a dinosaur it was a T-Rex that was trained to work with the U.S. military. And it was kind of like a changing of history in that. So they were showing this T-Rex landing at
Normandy.
Normandy walking around, had like
guns on him. I love that picture. Is this the T-Rex with the two guns on him?
Yeah. I don't know if anything ever happened for it because it was supposed to be making like a small little documentary talking about how he was, you know, a celebrated soldier in World War II. But
that picture is amazing. So
the only issue with like the entire plot of Jurassic World 1 and 2 this is like T-Rexes are cool. They lose to a 50 cal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you landed a T-Rex at Normandy. It immediately died. Immediately. Like it doesn't even get out of the water.
Well, it might get all in the water if everyone like, what the fuck is that thing? And then,
oh, do they have a T-Rex? Wow, that's crazy. Blammo.
I mean, let's be honest. Everybody's like, oh, it's a T-Rex. Use the 88.
Yeah. Sure. The Indoraptor's neat. It loses to an Abrams.
Yeah. Just shoot it in the knee.
Aw. Spoilers.
That it's game like, came out 7 years ago.
No, I was talking. He was just talking about the Endoraptor.
There's no Abrams tanks.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. Oh, I thought that's actually how it
Remember,
died.
Andy, no, I haven't actually seen this movie. I have just mocked it.
It loses to Blue attacking it from behind at a dramatic moment, just like in Lost World or Jurassic World, because, again, we can't have anything original in our Jurassic World 2 movie.
But people don't want original. They want safe.
Do they want good?
No.
Okay, good, because they didn't get that either.
Look at the rest of the news.
Fuck.
Oh, did it actually make enough money to...
I'm sure it's going to make $1 billion. There's no way this... It's not going to go solo. I highly doubt that solo happens to this.
Even though it should.
It definitely should.
I mean, solo is probably just fine the way it is. Unfortunately, it was just a story that we didn't want at the time.
And also it was released at the worst possible time of the year.
Correct. Right after Infinity War, right after Deadpool 2.
And publicly and repeatedly had been announced was going to be a horrific train wreck.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, you don't change directors and then reshoot 75% of the film.
Correct. I mean, the question that needs to be asked at this point is, did Disney need a loss for tax purposes?
Well, I don't know if it's exactly a loss yet. I know it's
made half its budget.
Oh. Jurassic World 2 has made $700 million in the global box office this weekend.
You were part of that, too.
Dan, I know. I bought seven goddamn tickets to that movie. Seven goddamn tickets.
How many? It's like you, Raylene, and the whole...
It's me, Raylene, three kids, and two significant others.
Oh,
oh my Lord.
You need to rethink your family outings.
Oh, my Lord. Well, that at least after... Before that, we went to... this is a local thing, but we went to... Rock Hound Brewery, I think it's Rock Hound. It's a brew pub on Park Street. It was fucking amazing. I highly recommend going to it. Everything, the appetizers, the entrees, the side dishes, the beers themselves, everything was fucking amazing.
Hmm.
I mean, that's obviously specifically for Madisonians listening, but it was good.
So get your ass to Madison and try it.
They're sweet potato fries. Yeah, Rock Hound Brewery. If you like, I like
good sweet potato fries are really good.
Like, I have never had better sweet potato fries in my life. I possibly have never had better fries of any kind in my life. They were fucking amazing.
Just caused Andy to have a heart attack.
No, I don't like sweet potato fries. I'm just hiccuping.
Weirdly. It doesn't matter. You would like these sweet potato fries. It's like how Brian doesn't like pineapple, but he'll eat the roasted pineapple at Samba. That's what these sweet potato fries would be like. They were so fucking good.
It's orange and cooked, though.
Yeah, that is true.
I do like flavor, though. I like flavor better than more than Brian does, so I would probably like it.
Does Brian like flavor?
No. Brian likes buttered noodles and crackers and eggs.
Oh, yeah. Rock Hound Brewing Company, 444 Park Street. I recommend it. But then don't go to Jurassic World 2 afterwards. $700 fucking million. I blame the Chinese. I guarantee $600 million of that's from the Chinese.
Yeah, I do. I have no clue. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I'm probably not going to see it now. Thanks, Nate. Ruining my summer.
No, I saved your summer. Seeing that pile of shit would have ruined your summer.
I sometimes like bad movies.
You can go see Jurassic World Fallen.
Just promise us you'll see it at Silver.
Or at the Market Square theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're going to see a movie like that, though, you'd want to have at least the audio and... And actually comfortable
seats. They have
speakers. No, they don't have good speakers.
They do not have comfortable seats.
I'd say, this movie sounds like it'll be enhanced if your foot sticks to the floor.
Yes. Something to distract you from all the confusing what the fuckening.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Actually, Silver's not that bad. But
no, but
it's definitely a cheap theater.
It's a throwback to what theaters we had, you know, five years ago.
We've been spoiled by freaking Lazy Boys chairs in every theater.
Yeah, that's very true.
Fucking Jurassic World. There, did that kill some time?
Yeah, we definitely killed some time.
I think we killed the chat, too.
Yeah, the chat has been dead for a while. It's probably because we're talking about movies, not... Well, somebody was mentioning about Chekhov's Raptor Gun. Do we have any recommendations other than not to not go see
Jurassic World? So the reason that they sent him to the island, really, like the other dinosaurs were a bonus, but the reason they needed the heroes to go with was so that they could track down Blue specifically, the raptor.
Because he was a trainable raptor.
Because it was a trainable raptor, and if they had Blue, when they cloned more Indoraptors, they could have Blue raise the Indoraptors to be trainable, because that's how it works. Like, if I cloned wolves and had Kaya raise the wolves would obey me.
No.
Is their theory.
That's... No. If you had Blue had kids, in a way, you know, you basically...
No,
sire the children. That could be, what?
I don't even want to go down that train of thought.
Also, you don't need dinosaurs to be trainable or to obey a laser pointer. What you need is to be able to strap a parachute on them and kick them out of a plane above the city you want gone.
Dino bomb.
Yeah, like you just turn a random city into old only. I wanted to see Incredibles instead. I didn't.
There are good things about it.
Did Brad Bird direct Incredibles 2, or did they get somebody else? Because he directed the first one.
Do not know.
Fair enough.
Do we have any recommendations or Zappity Grumbles?
We had Zappity Grumbles last week that you forgot about.
Oh, I did. I don't know where they are now.
They're probably in, you know, our Facebook thread from last week about sending Zappity Grumbles. You go find that while I recommend Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon.
Legally distinct from Castlevania.
That was a Kickstarter bonus with the thing. There was a Kickstarter to make Symphony of the Night again because people don't make those games anymore because people fucking suck. And so they're making a Symphony of the Night legally distinct ripoff. And one of the stretch goals was to make a Castlevania 3 legally distinct ripoff. And it came out last month. It came out a little while ago. It's like $10 on Switch. I think you can get it on other things as well. But it's $10 and it's good. You should play it. $10.
When you became my friend, were you reminded that it existed?
Yeah, I had forgotten it existed until I saw that you were playing it, and then I bought it. It's fun. You get a Castlevania 3 it up, which is cool, because everybody likes Castlevania 3. It's the best Castlevania. Or, spoiler, because the game doesn't tell you this. It tricks you. You, like, beat a boss, and then just like in Castlevania 3, you beat the boss, and then, like, a person shows up, and you can talk to the person, and they'll join you, and then they're your sidekick. But in this, it's not like a cutscene. You walk up and you're supposed to hit the button to talk to them, but instead you can just stab them in their fucking face, and then they die.
Did you discover that by accident the first time?
No, I discovered it because I beat the game without doing that, and I knew there was another game mode to unlock and whatever, so I Googled it. But if you kill them, instead of gaining a sidekick, you just get an extra superpower.
That sounds like the kind of thing where I would accidentally hit the wrong button and be like, nope, I just shivved them.
Whoops! But it's good. It's fun. If you like the old school 8-bit, and they do a really nice job of getting the feel of that without being like the bullshit difficulty level that those old games were, especially if you play on casual mode where the birds don't knock you back into pits.
Or just you have no knockback at all.
Correct.
It is actually much. Also, health drops like candy.
Even without that, 99% of deaths in any Ninja Gaiden or Castlevania game for the NES was when you tried to jump a pit and a random fucking bird came out of nowhere and hit you. Or a Medusa head. Birds are the natural enemy to ninja.
Or vampire hunters.
Well, those are the Medusa heads.
Yeah.
Medusa heads and bats get vampire hunters. Birds get ninja.
Hitchcock tried to warn us.
He did. Or tying into a previous statement, 50 Cal are also the natural predator of ninja, if ninja assassin is to be believed.
So somebody, Paul Johannes, had mentioned last week, does War Machine Hordes MK3 feel like it has been out longer than 3 years, this lock and load? It's been 3 years since it's been out, which doesn't feel right. But
yeah, I don't think so. Like, I can't decide if I think it feels like less or more.
This is the third year. It's been out for 2 years?
No, it came out 3 years ago. That was the last time I've been to Lock and Load.
Was that 3 years ago, Ryan?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Well, see, thing is, though, it's been through 3 years of playtesting.
So it's been out for 6 years.
Yep.
To me, it does not feel like it's been longer than that. It feels like a relatively normal length of time.
Yep. And then a question for David, but David's not here, so we can answer this for him. So in Conflict Chamber, when you add the ability to add player's name for when we make individual lists, not part of the event submission. I think we actually did.
We talked to David about that after the episode, and he said that was something he was working on, yes.
Yep. That's it. That's it. All that's happening to Grumbles.
You know what's really bad luck is like when an Indoraptor's chasing to get into the elevator that you're in, and the door closes just in time, and then it turns around to go away, and its tail happens to swipe and hit the button console that you hit to call the elevator, and for some reason that makes the elevator door open back up, and then it eats you.
That can happen, yes.
Yeah. I've seen that happen. That's very common.
Well,
it's extremely common.
At work, though, you know, if the elevator closes, you hit that button quick enough that it'll actually open it up before the elevator leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sucks when that happens, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That poor soul. So, recommendations. I have a small one. Is just get a Switch. It's awesome.
Switch is good.
I like the Switch a lot. I don't like Nintendo Store so far. Their store has been basically useless to try to navigate and shop for things on the Switch.
The worst thing about the Switch right now is that the Darkest Dungeon DLC, The Color of Madness, hasn't hit it yet. So I can play with the DLC on my account on my PC, but not on my Switch.
Sure, sure. But I mean, you can't just browse the store itself unless there's some other method that I don't know about. When I was trying to go and look for games, I just wanted to see what games were available for me to download on the Switch. I can only find new releases, bestsellers, or just some other random thing.
You're not allowed to have critical thought. You will buy the same stuff everyone else does, and you will like the 31st EA game.
I'm also going to buy the same things I bought two times over already for Nintendo, because that's how the Switch works too. But yeah, I know that they were selling like a Donkey Kong version for $10, and Donkey Kong as in like the original NES style Donkey Kong, they were selling for $10. Like, that's way too much for that game. Should be $1, maybe $5. But yeah, get the Switch. It's awesome. Nathan and I, we posted our friend codes on the Facebooks. Be our friends.
Yeah, be my friend. That was my add-on. I didn't have more than that.
Dan, do you have a recommendation?
I do. So there's a mobile game I've been enjoying playing recently. It is a freemium game. It's called Disney Heroes. It's very similar to the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes games that Brian and Jeremy and I used to play. Or at least they might still play. I don't know.
Jeremy still plays. Yeah. Jeremy's still running a guild in it, I think.
Yeah. But it's kind of a similar vein, but it's with Disney Heroes. I will caveat it with I know the guy who owns the company who made it, and I was a beta tester for it. I'm not getting reimbursed for this, but it's a fun game. It's very enjoyable. The one thing that is mildly annoying is it is a freemium game, but you'll want to spend a little bit of money in it because you have to spend... As you unlock crystals, you also get reward points, and once you get to reward point level 4, you get the ability to autoplay and fast-forward through all levels, which means you then can effectively play it one-handed because you just let it run for a little bit and stuff happens. You don't have to spend money. They also have I think it's TapJoy integration, so you can like go take a quiz and get some crystals and rewards points that way kind of thing.
Sure. Standard freemium stuff.
Correct. But no, it's fun. You have a bunch of just Pixar characters and a few other things, so Incredibles, Toy Story, there's some characters from Tron that just got added.
I fight for the user.
Yep. So, and it's just the standard, you know, PvE type stuff, and there's guilds and everything, and it's just a fun, enjoyable game. So
it's like Kingdom Hearts before Kingdom Hearts. It's something to play while Kingdom Hearts is being delayed again.
Because it will never come out.
Well, it's got a release date for like January of next year.
Does that ever matter?
That's true too.
Can't wait to do gummy ships.
Gummy bears.
Pouncing here and there and everywhere.
Yep.
So speaking of games that are ways out, Nathan, ethical question. I know I'm going to buy Red Dead Redemption 2. Should I buy it now?
What if they do the annoying ending again where you have to play as your shitty son? Well, yeah.
I barely remember. I remember doing things in Red Dead. Then you were in like a small little corner map for a little bit, or
no? Because the ending is after everything you do, you get released from your government servitude, and three missions later they show up and shoot you.
Okay,
and then you play as your shitty son like 5 years later,
mm.
And he sucked.
But thankfully,
really annoying.
minimal speaking lines that mattered.
Yeah. They did release a DLC where they brought the main character back as a zombie.
I just find it's better to pretend that that didn't exist.
Yeah, it was like a monkey's paw. Can we have him back? You want him back, you say?
That DLC was good, though. The Undead Nightmare was a great mode for that game.
But I don't hate pre-ordering like some people do. If you're 100% certain you're going to buy something, go ahead and pre-order it. What the fuck? But
I just can't remember where Rockstar fits in the ethics of gaming continuum.
Rockstar, I mean, I don't know that there's anything unethical about them. I think that they're not particularly good at what they do.
So they're just in the middle. So it's not CD Projekt Red and it's not EA.
Yes, correct. They are halfway between EA and CD Projekt Red.
They are all about you spending real money for fake money in their game.
To be honest, I'm okay with that because they're open about that.
But their games are relatively well designed. So
and often worth actually spending some money.
Correct.
They are not EA where they are this horrific monster, and they're not Warner Brothers Interactive where they're 90% of the way there and then they just kind of shit the bed for no reason. You're like, God damn it, you were almost good. Like EA at least
I'm trying to think of what Warner Brothers has even made.
They went from Shadow of Mordor to Shadow of War, where they took Shadow of Mordor and took out all the good stuff and then shoved in loot boxes.
Even then, I mean, they made it so it was basically impossible for you to, not impossible, but they drug out the final stages of the game of Shadow of War to make it so it enticed you to buy loot boxes so you can help shorten that pace. Because it was just a grind at the very end of the game.
So and we got the logic of your game, like, how does it never trigger to the designers that if you make it worth money to not play your game, what does that say about the quality of your fucking game?
But I don't care because I can't hear you from my yacht.
But I don't think it's the designers who have that say, though. That's
the
basically
publishers, whatever.
Yeah, that's the corporate table that says, you know, we need to make some more money with this. So here's what you need to do. You need to make this really hard at the very end of this game, and we need to give people things that they can purchase so they can make that a little bit easier.
Yeah, our game is so unenjoyable. You can pay us to not play it.
But it's actually pretty good from what I hear. Everything I hear about Shadow of War is actually really good, except for the loot boxes and the pay-to-win part of it.
All the good parts are the stuff that was good from the first one, but less good.
Correct.
Like, you should just play the first one. The first one's a fucking masterpiece. Yeah. Second one is not.
Except for the stupid missions that you had to do as the other guy.
Sure.
I hated those.
I mean, it's just like good games having escort missions. It's like, why the hell are those in there?
Because everyone hates us. Also, all right. Nate, when are we going to be crowning Biden?
I'll go home and I'll put it. I actually have, my brother gave me an idea for another bracket to do that I might do right away after this because it'll be a musical one.
Ooh.
Going to be the best cover song.
Oh, I thought you were just going to do musicals.
Oh, no, I could do that too. Best musical.
Are you saying like for a cover song, so like you say, are you going to put the original verses or are you going to have like cover song and cover song?
It's going to be 32 cover songs.
Okay.
I like both those options.
To figure out what's the best cover song. Like, which is better, Jimi Hendrix's version of All Along the Watchtower or Johnny Cash's version of Hurt, right? Like, those are two amazing covers.
Oh, I was thinking maybe you would actually put the originals versus the cover.
No, because by nature, if I am choosing correctly, all 32 of these covers should beat their original. I am choosing covers that I think are hand and fist universally accepted as being better than the original.
So any Bob Dylan song without
correct.
Bob Dylan singing?
Nobody prefers Bob Dylan's version of All Along the Watchtower.
No one prefers Bob Dylan's version of anything.
Anything that has a cover. Like, we'll settle for his version of things that haven't yet been covered.
I don't.
I do. He's a poet. I like the stories he tells. I just like them better when somebody who has any musical farm whatsoever. Alien Ant Farm Smooth Criminal is indeed in there, should have turned left in chat. Here, I will give you a sneak preview here of the list so far. Well, also, you see that scene? So all the dinosaurs are running from an actively exploding volcano in terror, but for some reason one of them stops to attack the heroes, even though why would it do so? It needs to get away from some fucking lava. And then the T-Rex then randomly, also for no reason, because it should be getting away from lava, stops and kills that thing and then roars and runs away.
Yes, but the T-Rex is a paparazzi horror.
So. Yeah, you needed that picture, and so you have to come up with a fucking scene to make it happen. Fuck you, Jurassic World. All right, I'm going to pull up my chat with my brother here, and I will give you the list so far.
I can tell you right now, whoever you place Alien Ant Farm's Smooth Criminal against, that will get my vote.
All right, we got Hey Joe by Buckwheat Zydeco. And if you don't know any of these, like, note this list and go listen to these songs. These are all amazing covers.
Yeah, we might need some prep work thing.
Hey Joe by Buckwheat Zydeco, Romeo and Juliet by Monte Montgomery. So those are two of the more obscure ones. Johnny Cash Hurt, Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower, Cake's cover of Perhaps and I Will Survive. I might have to limit them just to I Will Survive, just because you shouldn't give them two songs. Smashing Pumpkins, You're All I've Got Tonight, Bangles' Hazy Shade of Winter. Any particular version of Hallelujah. I have to figure out whose version of Hallelujah is the better one. Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog by Elvis is a cover song. Mm-hmm. You might not realize that. I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany. Sound of Silence by, was that Disturbed or Seether that did the remake of Sound of Silence?
Disturbed.
Shatner's version of Common People. That's going to be my steamed hammed. Or Dick Butt, where it's going to lose round one because none of you plebeians understand how good Shatner's version of Common People is.
Yeah, but I mean, if you switch it to Rocketman, I'll vote for it.
People would ironically vote for that. Iron Wine's Such Great Heights, Red Hot Chili Peppers' Higher Ground, Ecstasy of Gold by Metallica, Where Did You Sleep Last Night by Nirvana from their Unplugged performance where they did Lead Belly. Also by Nirvana, Man Who Stole the World, Seven Nation Army by Glitch Mob, Alien Ant Farm's Smooth Criminal, Landslide by Pumpkins, there's a Run DMC's Walk This Way, Tracing the New Bohemian is a Hard Rain, there's a Mrs. Robinson's cover who we can't remember, that's by Fuji's Killing Me Softly, the Lady Marmalade cover by my brother put it Lady Marmalade by whatever / whoever the fuck, and in parentheses had Aguilera, some black chick, some other white chick, end parentheses, which is not the best way to put it, but he's not wrong. Although, is Maya white? Because it was Aguilera, Maya, and Kim something.
Possible.
My brain was going there, but either way. But those are all really good songs.
Mm-hmm. Heroes.
Heroes, sure. We could be Heroes by Peter Gabriel.
Or Motorhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had another one. I was, shit, what was it?
That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, Public Enemy. The Anthrax Public Enemy cover.
No, that's...
Yeah, Anthrax covered a Public Enemy song.
Well, that's... Yeah, but that still has the same band in it. I wouldn't consider it a cover if the same band is in it. You're talking about Anthrax, Bring the Noise.
Yes.
Yes, that's got both Anthrax and Public Enemy in it.
So Run DMC's Walk This Way wouldn't count either?
I would probably suggest it, yeah. Okay. I would not... If the original band is in it, I wouldn't consider it a cover.
That's...
Because then it's more of a team-up.
I can see that stance.
But
what if the original band was dead, like Unforgivable with Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole?
Okay.
But the real question is, are either of these sandwiches?
You could actually do Ball of Confusion, which is, I believe, a Joe Jackson one that's done by Anthrax.
Sure.
Or you could do Got the Time, which is another Joe Jackson song by Anthrax.
So the point is, those are all good songs. I just need another dozen or so to get to the 32, and then I'll do that thing.
I would want to do something where it would be two covers of a song, and you would find out which one is the better one.
I mean, that's pretty damn restrictive.
I know. You'd have to probably go with a 16, because I don't think you'd be able to pull
finding
off.
16 songs with multiple good cover versions or tolerable cover versions. I mean, that's like trying to pick up which version of the Pina Colada song is best.
which version of Head Like a Hole do you like? Do you like Devo's version or a random Leibach version?
Head Like a Hole, good. Oh man, did anybody else do a cover of? No, well, I don't even need another because I'm not going with your plan. I need to do. I will put on there the real life speed version of Call Me by the Chipmunks. That is one of my favorite fucking songs, and I love playing Can You Name the Band with people and playing that.
Also, by the way, do not. I will personally kill you if you put the fucking Gone Away done by Five Finger Death Punch. I will kill you.
Okay,
I will absolutely kill you because it may be a decent cover, but no,
it has to be better than the original.
Is
the key
not better? Than
it has
the
to be better than the original. It's just like, man, I do not fucking like whatever that shitty band is that has the cover of Zombie by Cranberries. Mm-hmm. They play on JJO all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know that, you know about that, right?
Well, she was gonna reprise her role in it, and then she rudely died.
Yeah.
But the version that exists out there, their version is the sign of a bad cover is that whenever that song comes on, it makes me want to listen to the original.
Yeah.
Because the original is better, and all they do is remind me that the original exists.
Yeah, I don't like it when there's bands that do covers that all they do is exactly the song. I like it modified a little bit to make it their own.
Which, see, that's why, for instance, for Song of Silence, I like the Bobaflex version better than the Disturbed version. Because for the Disturbed version,
it just sounds like the original.
Correct.
Yeah. He's just singing the original one.
Yep.
Although, is that better or worse than somebody like Marilyn Manson, where every one of his covers just sounds like a generic Marilyn Manson song?
That's true, too.
I mean, but I enjoy the Marilyn Manson song with a better person writing lyrics.
Sure, I guess so. I guess that works, but... Yeah, like my Raylene got an album that was just the theme track. It was the soundtrack to Nightmare Before Christmas with every song done somebody else. Yep. And his version of This Is Halloween just sounded like somebody making a generic Marilyn Manson song. It was the most painfully bad thing.
He phoned that one in hard.
He phoned it in as hard as fucking possible.
Like, he might have recorded that over the phone.
Yes, like literally.
His megaphone into his phone.
Yep. Yep. So speaking of which Depeche Mode song are you putting on there?
See, I like your own personal Torgo.
No. I like Johnny Cash's personal Jesus on
Johnny Cash. You could just take America 4.
Correct.
Yeah.
here's the Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. Name the best Johnny Cash song off of this album.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys can text me in the chat some more ideas of covers.
But yeah, that's how I discover a lot of my music.
Do I get double points if it's a cover song that is also highly repetitive?
You should hear Iron Savior's version of... shoot. I just thought of... It's the one done by Seal. We're Never Gonna
Crazy?
Survive. Yeah, Crazy. Yeah, Iron Savior's version of Crazy.
Iron Savior's version of Crazy.
It's like a full-on metal version.
I would love to hear Iron Savior's version of Crazy. And if I feel it is strictly better than the original, I will put it on... tournament's the word I was looking for.
All right, so I think we should probably call it there. Unless you have anything else other than pay attention to future polls by Nathan.
So like they capture the heroes and they put them in a cell and then we're like,
I'm making this really difficult for me to
everyone thinks you're dead. Everyone thinks you're dead, so no one will miss you when we kill you, and then they just leave. Like, I get that you can't kill the heroes because then the movie's over, mm-hmm. but at least go through the effort of giving
come on.
A reason.
Disney had the balls to kill the heroes. Come on.
Fair.
You can do better than this.
At least, though, have the put in the effort to make a reason that they don't immediately shoot them in the face.
Or
and feed them to a T-Rex.
Or full on Austin Powers it and make it a joke.
Yes. Nope. They just like, haha, we're going to kill you later. Like, they Dread Pirate Roberts. Good day, Shade. I'll have to kill you in the morning, and then they just walk away to go have their auction. Get it?
Leave it in there with the portgullet.
Yeah, they leave it in there with a Pachycephalosaurus who just breaks down the wall of their cell, and that's how they escape. True story.
Portgullet will know yourself better.
Yay, Packies!
Jurassic World. The first Jurassic World got in hot water in England. Because Paki is a slur
offensive.
For Pakistani immigrants.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, and so in the movie.
I am not
like,
from England.
Correct. I mean, it's, but yeah, they appear. I didn't know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, after I found out, I'm like, oh, I guess that makes sense. You're like, oh, yeah, fucking Paki's coming into England. Like, I can understand.
You have not listened to enough Eddie Izzard then.
I've listened to a lot of Eddie Izzard, but I guess I just haven't. Well, it's just like I listened to a lot of old Monty Python, and one of the CDs I had mentioning the Abbos, and I didn't know what that meant either because I was like 10.
Oh, I can probably imagine what that is.
It was Bruce's. What the Abbos are?
Yeah, they're probably from indigenous species or people from Australia?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so when Jurassic World came out, I guess nobody involved in making that movie knew that? Mm. So the movie comes out in England, they're like, ah, fucking Packies, and they're like, whoa!
It's like when the first Ninja Turtle poster got released of the World Trade Center exploding.
And they had no noses.
nobody picked that up at all. All right. Thanks, guys, for watching. We'll be back next week for Crippled System 242.
Which is not Prime.
Which is also name of a industrial band, Front 242, from a long time ago.
Blue gets gut shot, and she's bleeding, and so they're putting pressure here, and then they remove the bullet from her thigh.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck? Fuck you, movie.
It's a magic bullet.
It's like the one Kennedy? That killed Kennedy. Yeah.
It's the one that killed Kennedy. Yeah.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Don't you realize that? Yeah. All right.
Whatever.
We're done. Thanks for watching, guys. See you next week.